You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Last week I taught a message on, do you need a doctor? And what I was playing off was where Jesus said he came not for the whole but the sick. He didn't come for the righteous but the sinner to bring them to repentance. And I think sometimes if we think we're doing okay, we're not normally going to go get help. And the danger, I believe, in having everything's going pretty good, we're doing okay, the family's okay. I think the danger, that's a good thing. I mean, we're for that. But if we're not careful, we don't realize we can still improve. We don't work on things that we really have problems with until generally they come up. I know I'm that way. I don't always have a little checklist. I don't always, you know, just examine myself to see if I'm in the faith or not. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 tells us that. But you and I ought to examine ourselves. It's a good time of year to do that, you know. Not so much the New Year's resolutions part, but the part about, you know, I can do better. I can do better. You can do better. So you ought to ask yourself the question, how are you doing? I mean, look in the mirror and ask yourself, how are you doing? How are you doing spiritually? How are you doing physically? How are you doing emotionally? All those areas. And if there's room for improvement, just start improving on it. Start working on it. Amen. You know, you probably didn't get in that mess overnight. You're probably not going to get out overnight. But if you'll make some steps, you'll start heading in the right direction.
That's right.
Yeah, I know if you're like me, you know, you kind of go on there and you don't stop and you don't check yourself out. Maybe you're doing something pretty good and you just kind of center in on that. That's kind of like going to the doctor and telling him everything that's all right with you. Hello? I mean, a doctor can't help you if you're just saying, hey, my right arm's real good. Man, it's just wonderful. You got a pain in your knee, but you're not going to tell them that, you know. Until you can find those areas that you need working on, you're not going to work on them. Until you stop and admit that, you're not going to go any further. There is another level we can go to. We can do more. We can do more as a church. We can do more as individuals. I mean, this things we're talking about here, just maintenance and preparation. You know, it's checking your oil. Checking your radiator for water, seeing if you got antifreeze in there. Your winter's coming. Are you winter ready? That's a reality. Have you insulated your pipes, things like that. You know, just checkups, daily checkups, checking on this, checking on that. Have you done this? Have you done that? Have you checked the air filters in your, you know, in your air conditioners at home? Because eventually they do stop up. Everything in life will deteriorate left to itself unless it's maintained and it's checked on. You know, that's just a fact of life. Things deteriorate. Your life will deteriorate. Your spiritual walk will deteriorate. If you don't check on it, if you don't continually, you know, keep asking yourself the right questions. And so Psalms 1 really talks a lot about that. Thank God you're not the only one with that problem. Neither am I. Amen? We all have to deal with these kinds of things. And we need a little maintenance and a little preparation. Preparation precedes blessing. Always heard that. That's good. You know, if we're ready for, get ready for what's coming, because it is coming. You know, winter is coming. Even in Texas, it comes every year. In fact, it's a little different today than it was yesterday. That's Texas. You know, if you don't like it, hang around. It'll change overnight. You know, what a difference a day makes. But what if you weren't ready for that? You know, Brenda comes down every week and checks the air and turns the air on, usually on Saturday, or we'll do it Friday night, usually Saturday. Because we know that people are coming Sunday. Happens every Sunday. Somebody shows up. So we kind of need to turn the air on, whether it's, you know, heat or air conditioned, depending on the weather, and that changes every week in Texas, so you have to continually, you know, those thermostats get a workout in Texas, that's for sure, because we're moving them back and forth. But there are things happening in your life, in my life, temptation. You know, temptation comes. Are you temptation ready? Have you done what you need to do to be ready for it? Are you maintaining yourself? Have you checked on yourself? Examined yourself. You know, there's certain levels that are acceptable. In a car, there's gauges in a car that tell you when things are right, when things are not right. We ought to watch for those signs in our life also and check ourselves, because we can all use some help. Amen. I'm just here to tell you, you need some help. I know you probably didn't want to hear that. I didn't want to destroy your ego, but you need to get rid of those egos and those logos and get on with the business serving God. Amen. Amen. Psalms 1. Found it?
Yes.
Verse 1. Blessed is the man. Everybody say blessed.
Blessed.
Wouldn't you like to be blessed this year?
Amen.
Well, there are things you can do to cooperate with God to get the blessing of God on you. There are things you can... Now, there's nothing really you can do to keep from being tempted or keep from being tried or keep from being challenged in life. That's going to happen. That's life. But there are things you can do to prepare yourself for that. You can't stop winter from coming. It's coming. And it's going to keep coming, no matter what Al Gore says. Just a thought. It's coming every year. Seed time and harvest will be here until Jesus comes. The Bible says that. Can't stop it from coming, but you can get ready for it. Amen. Amen. You can't. There's no way this year you're going to live all year and not be challenged, not be tested, not be tried. But I'll tell you what, you can get ready for it. You can get prepared for it. You can insulate your pipes. Amen. You can put antifreeze in a radiator. You can check the oil in that engine. In fact, it's always a lot cheaper to go ahead and maintain and prepare than it is to repair. And you don't want some challenge or some trial or some tragedy to expose that area of your life you hadn't been working on. You really need to work on it now. Check it out. Check yourself. Prepare and get ready, because it's a lot more expensive when the blow-up happens. Uh-huh. Got you there, didn't I? Huh? You're thinking about that one. You ever had a blow-up? You ever had a blowout? We all have. You know, you ever had your engine just go out? Now, I'm talking spiritually here. You know, a lot of times engines go out in cars because you hadn't changed the oil. Yeah. This is profound. Okay, y'all with me? Sometimes radiators burst and engines crack in winter because we hadn't put antifreeze in the radiator. Wasn't God's fault. You know what? It wasn't even the devil's fault. I believe everything that happens in life is one of three reasons. God, the devil, or you.
That's right.
And I think most things, you. Me. Come on, I wear the tag. That's usually me. You know, there's a country western song, Here's Your Sign, song that, you know, something you've done real dumb, here's your sign, here's your sign, you know. I think we ought to wear the tag most of the time. I think we blame the devil. Not that he's not worthy of being blamed about a lot of things, but I think many times we blame the devil for things that we did. A couple of you like that. And then, of course, God forbid, we blame God for everything. You know, and that's just ridiculous. God's good. God's not bad. He's not, you know, he's a loving God, not a hating God. So God's not everything. By virtue of him being something, then something else he's not. This is deep. I know. I hate to put all this on you the first Sunday of the year, but think about it. So a lot of times it's our fault. The engine blew up because we didn't change the oil. We blew our top, maybe, because we didn't address the anger issue in our life. We didn't pray about it. Are you with me? We didn't work on it. We just kind of let it go. You know what? It finally built up, and then we exploded, and the repair job is a lot more expensive. Isn't it? I mean, would you rather change your oil and never have your engine blow up, or you just have it blow up and go get it fixed? Are you out there?
Yes.
Okay, if y'all help me with this, we'll get out early.
Praise God.
The service is in your hands. Oh, yeah, right here. Ooh, that's good. Preach it. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Yes, amen. Oh, man. Oh, I love it. Yes. Oh. Well, it's cheap, but I'll get you to help me that way. So in life, you can prepare and you can maintain and do some things, pray, you know, and get in your Bible, come to church. You're in church here today. That's wonderful. God's pleased. You did the right thing. But you know what? You ought to make a habit of that.
Yes,
here's a good time of year to think about our lives and say, you know, this is good. This is right. This will help me. It'll help everybody else too. It'll help me be a better person, better husband, better wife, better witness. God can use me more if I'll commit more. In fact, my engine will last longer if I'll change the oil, you know, if I maintain it, if I check all the levels and make sure everything's going the way it should be. And this is something we all deal with. Come on, they've dealt with the Bible. You deal with it. I deal with it. You know, it's a challenge to maintain, to have a checklist, as it were, to go through the list, look at the things we need to work on. Psalms 1 starts out this way. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." Now, it doesn't mean he doesn't have dealings with lost people. Of course, we all deal with lost people. We work with lost people. We're neighbors to lost people. We have relatives that are lost, I assume. You know, you're like everybody else. And so we don't hate lost people, and we're not indignant, you know, and self-righteous around them. We want to minister to them. We want to love them. And we want to reach out to them and pray for them, no question. But we cannot walk in their counsel. Does that make sense? Why? Because the Bible says you're not blessed if you don't. It says you're blessed if you do not walk in that counsel. If you walk in their counsel, then you would not be blessed. Right? So there's a fine line here with we're ministering to people that don't know the Lord, and we don't want to be stuck up about this thing, Christianity. Goodness, I was lost at one time. I got no stones to throw. I mean, if someone's out there just ungodly and just, you know, I can't let that, their life, keep me from praying for them and loving them and being decent and civil. My job's not to correct and clean up the world. I can't do that. Hello? But my job is to be a light and to love. And also, my job is to take the right counsel. So I may be praying for them, and I may be ministering to them and conversing, talking with them from the standpoint I want to win them over so they can be saved, but I'm not taking their counsel. How many people messed up taking the counsel of somebody you work with, doesn't even know the Lord? I've dealt with that over year by year. As a pastor, I talk with people all the time, and you know, they're going through this problem or that problem, and they wind up listening to the counsel of somebody they work with every day that doesn't even know Jesus. Now, they ought to be praying with them. They ought to be decent and civil, but your counsel should be from the Lord. Amen?
Right.
Ought to be from something more solid, someone who really does care, someone who has proven his love for you and his concern for you, and who else has done that more than Jesus? Amen? So blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinner. In other words, we don't stand where they stand. We don't do what they do. Amen?
Right. Amen.
Now, see, there's a balance here, because I think sometimes we get to ministering on separation from the world to the point of that we don't even talk to them, and we don't even reach out to them, and we don't even love them, and we don't even converse with them. That is not what the Scripture says. What it's talking about is we don't go their way. We don't take their counsel. We don't do what they do, but we don't hate them.
That's right.
We don't hate homosexuals. We don't hate abortionists. We don't hate adulterers. We don't even hate liars. Okay. Are you out there? We don't hate overeaters. And I don't know, if I don't quit this, y'all might be hating me. You got to love me. But anyway, we hate sin, but we don't hate sinners. Amen? We pray for people. We reach out to people. Listen, bring them on. Bring the sinner on. If they'll come and they'll repent and turn their life over to Jesus, my, we'll take them all. We don't care about your past. We don't care about your background. We don't care where you've been. What we're concerned about is where you're going. Hallelujah. We want to take you in the right direction. God can forgive, and He can restore, and He can heal, and He can set you back on your feet again. We believe some of these things are wrong, but people that do them, Jesus died for. Amen? So we may not walk the way they walk. We may not stand where they stand, but it doesn't mean we don't pray for them. It doesn't mean we don't reach out to them. Because the Scripture is filled. If that's all you had is this verse, you could just stay there with it. But we got a whole Bible full of Scriptures talking about praying for people and loving your enemies and witnessing and being a light. Are you with me? But having said that, being sent out to the sea where the gospel ships, where the good old gospel ships. I love that. And we are sent out to the sea. I agree. Oh, I'm starting to rhyme, and I like it. But we're sent out to the sea, these gospel ships, to make a change, to make a difference, to cast our nets out and bring them in. But God forbid the sea gets into ships. Oh, we'll sink. But we do have a purpose. We're out there to make a difference, to bring them in. Amen? You don't bring them in by pointing at their sin. You don't bring them in by hating them. You don't bring them in by holding up the sign, repent or perish, you know. Oh my, you'll fry when we wave goodbye to you. You hate your mama, you hate your papa, you never done a good thing in your life. God bless you, dirty, rotten little hearts. But I love you and God loves you. Well, you know, I don't know about that. It doesn't sound right. Something's not geeing and hawing here. Hello, we got to reach out to people. But, you know, we got to watch our counsel that we're taking. We ought to watch where we're standing, where you're standing. Good question. How you doing? How you doing? You ought to ask yourself that. How am I doing? How am I doing with love? How am I doing with serving God? And see, even in maintenance, when you're talking about a car, changing oil and checking radiator and, you know, checking air in the tires and all those kinds of things. There's no such thing as a one-time check the oil deal. Oh, wouldn't it be nice? Man, I checked that oil 5 years ago. I don't know what's wrong with that engine. I checked the air in that tire when I bought that thing 10 years ago. What's it doing flat now? There's just no such thing as a one-time inflate the tires, one-time check the oil, one-time put the, antifreeze in the radiator. And as far as us as Christians, you know, hey, look, I remember loving somebody 5 years ago. I did my good deed for my lifetime. I prayed one time. Man, I gave 10 years ago. Don't you remember that offering? I gave an offering. You know, if you go down the list, there is no one-time deal when it comes to preparation and maintenance. Whether it's a car, whether it's a house, whether it's your spiritual walk with the Lord. It's got to be a continual thing, a habitual thing, a habit. Habits are wonderful things. You can get good habits going, but you know what? You can get bad habits. And habits are things that you make originally, and then they turn around and make you. So what we want to do is check ourselves, make sure we got the right habits, amen? And make sure we maintain, because things will deteriorate. They will fall apart if they're left to themselves, if they're not checked on. That's what the Bible is, really. In one sense, the Bible is a checklist. In another sense, it's a manual. You know, you have manuals in a car. You know, you open up the manual and it tells you how much air you put in the tires and how much oil you put in the car and when you're supposed to change it. I mean, it's a checklist. It tells you acceptable levels and what's right and what's the temperature should be, and it can be too hot or too cold, whatever. You know, it tells you all these levels, and you look in the manual to find out what's proper, what's maximum output, you know, the cruise speed, the best you can get out of this vehicle. Well, God has a whole manual of things that will make you the best you can be if you go through the checklist. If you take this time to stop and reflect on your life and see if there's areas that you need to work on. Every one of us have areas we need to work on. Amen? And God's for us. This is not a condemning message, because we're all in this boat. Amen? We're all in this thing together. So nobody's pointing any fingers. I mean, I could tell you all kinds of things I need to work on, and you'd probably agree, and I just can't handle that. So I'm not going there. But you can think of things you need to work on. Don't wait till you have an explosion. Don't wait till the engine blows up. Are you with me? To figure out, oh, man, I got to work on this. No, let's work on it now. Let's just do it now. Let's just say, hey, you know what? This year, we're gonna pray more. We're going to serve God more. We're going to be more faithful. We're going to be kinder. I've never known anybody that lived their life and wished they'd been meaner. Any regrets were regrets of not being merciful, not being kind enough, not being loving enough. So let's reach out more. Let's reach out further. Let's do more for Jesus. Amen. So he says, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, I know we can go with a crowd, and there's a lot of temptation to do that, and we want to be accepted. Everybody wants to be accepted. Come on. You don't want people to hate you. Nobody gets up in the morning and says, I want to see how many enemies I can make today. You know, as a Christian, that's kind of the battle you fight, because you want to maintain your witness. You want to maintain your walk. But you don't want to make everybody hate you. The problem is, some people are going to hate you. That's just the way it is. You can't help that. You don't intentionally do it. We want to be accepted, and that's the temptation, because we're compromised to be accepted. We're compromised to get along. But in the end, we're not blessed. The man who's blessed is the one who does this. Who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly nor stand in the way of the sinner. Oh, we love them. We maintain our love. We maintain our respect, because they're a soul or person that Jesus died for, and they're of great value, no matter how ungodly they're living. God cares for them. We maintain that respect and that civility toward them, but we don't compromise our walk. And the counsel we take from God and from His people. Hallelujah. It is right to love people. It is right. It is right to live holy. It really is. It's the best thing in the world you can do for your family is to live holy, to be trustworthy, to be honorable, to have integrity, to be courageous and bold. Those are good godly things. It's not honorable to hate. It's not honorable to steal. It's not honorable to be two-faced, to be wishy-washy. It's not honorable to be of two minds. It's not honorable to gossip. It's not honorable to do those things, to be unfaithful. That's not honorable. That doesn't develop trust. That doesn't make for good families. That doesn't make for good society. Are you with me? That doesn't exemplify Jesus. Now, we don't hate people to do that, but you know, we made a stand. We're going to check ourselves out. How are we doing in these areas? Probably we need a little oil change. Probably need to change a filter or two. Sure need to filter that language from time to time, don't we? Ooh. I got a on that one. And that was from Tommy on the front row, so I don't know. I want to talk to you after church, Tommy. Anyway, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but sits in the seat of the scornful. You know, it's easy to criticize. Those who row the boat don't have time to rock it. Everybody can build a better mousetrap. Everybody can run the government better. Everybody can do this better. Everybody can play better football than Tony Romo. Come on, we know that. Well, I mean, I'm just using this as an example. Y'all seen that commercial? So you had a bad day. There's a lady crying. It's fantasy sports is what it is. And the name of that sports club was that group was Romolicious. And her makeup's running down her cheek. She's crying because it's over for Romo this season, okay? Hallelujah. What do you call 47 millionaires sitting around the TV watching the Super Bowl? The Dallas Cowboys. Okay. Anyway, all right. Having said that, we need to pray for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm really stealing this from Carl Baranski's side about the Detroit Lions. But anyway, there were some good things he said. You know, like, how do you keep the Dallas Cowboys out of your backyard? Put up a goalpost. Or what do they have in common with possums? They play dead at home and they get killed on a road. But anyway. But this year, I'm going to be kinder. I'm kinder. I'm going to be kinder, sweeter. Where were we anyway? Okay. But second verse. Yeah. We're all gripers and complainers and scorners, scornful people. Don't sit in the seat of scorn. You know what? It'll ruin your life, get your blood pressure up, get you all out of whack. Come on, you get mad and upset. You know, even watching games, ball games, if you can't handle it, turn it off. You're going to wind up with a shoe in the screen, and you got to pay for the TV. Ken, you did that one time, didn't you? BC, yeah. Ken actually kicked the TV. Yeah, shot it, excuse me. Was it a football game? Huh? It was Cowboys. Yeah, this is BC. Okay, this is BC, before Christ. But I'm telling you what, that is a little extreme, wouldn't you say? Now, that's what you call your engine blowing up. But Ken wasn't serving God, okay. I mean, that's, you know, I'm not airing out his laundry. It could be any of you. I mean, probably a bunch of y'all shot your TV. I just won't admit it. But anyway, I would have a hard time believing many of you did that. But anyway, Ken shot his TV. I'm thinking it's too late for an oil change. Now we need to repair. All right? Something's wrong here. We need a new engine. Well, that's kind of what we do, though. We wait till we blow up and we go, oh, wow, I got to work on that. Well, you know, you should have been working on it all this time. And hey, thank God God's a forgiving God. Thank God he's merciful. Thank God when you go to him, he will help you. But you know what? You can do some things to keep that from happening. You want a blessed year? You want a blessed 2009? Well, there's things you can do to get there. Amen. It's going to take some maintenance. It's going to take some, you know, some preparation. Usually what I do, you know, temptation's coming. Question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? How are you doing? Amen? Second verse says, but his delight, this blessed man. Everybody say blessed.
Blessed.
Okay. His delight, this blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, law meaning just his word. Don't think in terms of just legalism, because that's not what the Bible's about. He's talking about his word, his promises, what he says, his instruction. God knows more than you do. Amen? He knows how things ought to work and how you ought to work. He knows where the acceptable levels are in your life, what your oil pressure ought to be, you know, and how much antifreeze you need in the radiator, how much air you need in your tires. He knows, spiritually speaking, what is going to cause you to have a smooth ride. And you can have some things right and some things wrong, and it'll cause you to stutter a little, have a little bumpy road, spiritually speaking. But you need to stop and do a little check.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yep.
I mean, this is where I get in trouble. It's I don't stop and see how I am doing. A lot of times I'm working on a message or thinking about sharing this or praying about the church or this, but I'm not really stopping and looking at me to see what I need to do. I have no more, there's nobody I have more influence on than me. And there's nobody I can make a bigger difference in than me. Nobody. In fact, I am it when it comes to me. Marty and I knew that. I was laughing about the card. Marty and Jane sent me a card, sent us a Christmas card, and said, "You are the cat's meow." Thanking me for being a pastor, you know. But yeah, whatever, the dogs bark, cats meow, whatever, the cows moo, I'm it. But you know what? You are too. You are it for you. There's nobody can change your life more than you can change your life. Now, I know Jesus is the element that we use. We have to go to Him and come to Him. But you can make a difference in your life more than anybody else's life. And if you'll change your life, you know what? You will run better. You'll quit running into people because of a defective vehicle.
Amen.
You'll get to places quicker, smoother, if you'll do a little checkup. See, if you'll take a little time and do a little maintenance and do a little preparation. We ought to determine this year, you know what? I'm going to do a little more maintenance. I'm going to be more consistent about checking my oil and checking my air and doing all these things, spiritually speaking. I'm going to see where I am. Am I loving like I ought to be? Am I reaching out to others like I ought to? When's the last time I told somebody about Jesus? Hello? I don't say that to condemn anybody. Just think about it, you know? When's the last time you shared your faith? Stood up for Jesus. Made a stand. Lived holy, lived right. Did that. Really prayed for somebody. Instead of getting mad at what's going on, get on your knees and pray about what's going on. Instead of holler at the TV screen and shoot out the TV. Okay. Moving right along here. I'm going to close this out. This is helping you? Okay. What this is talking about is just maintenance. His delight's in the law of the Lord, and His law doth He meditate day and night, day and night, day and night. See, He's continually doing. He didn't air His tires up one time. He's checking them all the time. He kicks them every time He gets in the car. You know what I'm saying? He's checking, looking at the gauges when He cranks it up. Seeing where He is. If He needs some gas, He goes get some gas. Wouldn't it be nice to fill up one time and never have to fill up again? See, it's not going to happen. No sense in getting mad about it. That's just the way things are. Wouldn't it be nice just to go to church one time, hear one sermon, and your life has changed forever? Well, I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. It'll wear off after a while. You got to maintain. You got to keep coming. You got to keep hearing it. Why? Because that's just the way life is. That's the way this life is. It needs maintenance. It needs preparation. And so the best thing you and I can do this year is say, I'm going to get up in the morning, look in the mirror, and ask myself how I'm doing. That'd be a good thing to do. In fact, you might just do it for a week and just kind of start a habit of that. How you doing? And when I say how you doing, I mean, have you been praying? What a different world it would be if people did that. What a greater marriage you would have, family you would have, church you would have. What a greater city this would be and country and world this would be if everybody did that. If everybody just got up and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to check myself out today, and I'm going to make some adjustments. I'm going to check my levels to make sure they're all right. Hello. I'm going to ask myself some questions. I'm going to ask myself, have I really prayed about anything today? Sometimes that's the question. Have you prayed about anything? Most of the time we get in a mess and we realize we haven't even prayed about it. But if we're in a habit of doing it, then we won't have these blow-ups and engine repairs that are very costly. You know how bad relationships are, how bad and hard they are to repair once there's been a blow-up? It's a lot easier just to maintain along the way and prepare along the way than to wait till the crisis hits and then we pray, you know. Now, thank God you do pray. Thank God God does hear when the crisis hits, but He wants to help you prevent those crises. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, third verse, we'll close out. This is it. Da-da-da-da-da. Y'all ready? All right, somebody's excited. All right. Some people, you love to see them come because you get so excited when they leave. Anyway, okay. Some people come to church, they get so excited about the ending. Oh, here it is. Been waiting on that. He shall be like a tree. I love that. That's us, the blessed person. The person who decides that they're going to walk God's walk, talk God's talk, sit where God sits. Amen? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Amen. You want a prosperous new year? Yes. You want to be like Spot? Live long and prosper. There's a way to do that. And it's not by pointing your ears either. It is by getting in the Word of God, by meditating in it day and night, by spending a little time reading the Scripture. You know, spend a little time. You know, you might just take the Psalms. If you read like five Psalms a day, in 1 month you'd read the whole book of Psalms. Proverbs, you could read one a day and read the whole book of Proverbs in a month. That'd be just a start. Of course, you want to read the New Testament too. But you may not want to bite off a big bite. Maybe you're not used to reading a whole lot. That's okay. Just read a little bit. You'll get used to it. You'll get hooked. You start doing that, you'll start wanting to read more. And then start applying it in your life and ask yourself those questions when you read that proverb. Hey, how about me? How am I doing? I'm looking at the manual here. How are my levels? Have I got enough air in my tires? Is my oil where it ought to be? Come on. Because if it's not a changed life we're talking about here, we're all wasting our time coming to church. I'm not just trying to put information in you. I want the information to change your life. If I don't apply it, if I'm not a doer of it, just hearing is not going to make a bit of difference. Churches are filled with people that are getting information, but they're not changing their lives. And the world just sees what we do. That's all they do. They see the change in our lives. So let's determine we're going to have a life change. We're going to ask ourselves how we're doing. We're going to check the oil, check the air, do a little maintenance, and in so doing, we'll do a little preparation. And it's a whole lot cheaper than the repair job. Amen?